This is the passage classically known as the Christmas story. And apologies, Linus was busy. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in that same region there were shepherds keeping watch over their flocks by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find the baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased."
I'm going to invite you to stand and sing yet one more time. We're going to say, "Angels We Have Heard on High." Let me pray for us. We come before the word of God. Lord, we have gathered here in your name. We have gathered that you might receive the glory due your name. Lord, I pray that you will help us to focus on what really matters this Christmas. We pray all of this in the name of Christ. Amen. Well, it was the most incredible event that had ever happened. And it was accompanied by the most amazing announcement that had ever been given. This Christmas Eve, I want us to focus on the announcement that was sung by this heavenly host. Just a one-word song. It's Luke 2:14. It was read for us. In fact, we just sang it together, although you might not have noticed it because you were singing it in Latin, right? So the words, Gloria in excelsis Deo. Those words mean glory to God in the highest. Listen to Luke 2:14. The angel sang, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace among those with whom he is pleased. This evening, I want us to focus on this one sentence, this announcement that these angels proclaimed, because what's here is more than we might notice. Now, yes, it's celebrating the birth of a newborn king, and yet in it, there's a definition of our need for this new king. Yes, this is the announcement of a birth, but it's also the prediction of a coming death. The angels, they speak of two words primarily, glory and peace. So let's consider each in turn. Glory. The angel said, glory to God in the highest. You know, if we're really honest, we examine our lives, we are all glory focused. We're consumed with glory. We seek after glory. And this is because we were made for glory. Every person you've ever met, we were all made to live for the glory of God. In fact, the scripture says that all of creation is declaring the glory of God. So when you see a snow blanket, where it's just all white and it's glorious, that's to point you upwards to the Maker. When tomorrow you're eating that yummy Christmas dinner, those tastes are to remind you of the glory of God. When you hold the hand of a beloved, it's to remind you of the glory of God. All of these beauties were made to reflect the one who is ultimately glorious. But you and I, we live for glory, but sadly, we don't always live for the glory of God. So think of the last time you were stuck in a long line, or perhaps you were frustrated with some other driver, or there was something else in your life where it just wasn't going the way you thought it should go. In that moment, you probably weren't thanking God for this opportunity that reminds you that God is in control and you are not. No, normally in those situations, we're all frustrated and we're focused on what we want, what we need. We think things should revolve around us. We'd like to ride on roads that are, you know, paid by for other people who choose never to use them. So it's just me out there, right? I mean, we love the idea of being made much of. Sadly, we pursue our own glory. We want to be first. We want to be the winner. We want to be respected. We want to be the one who's on top. All of us naturally would really like it if everyone was singing, glory to me in the highest, or fill in your name, right? Glory to David in the highest. Now, we won't say that out loud, but we have that inside us, this desire to have all the glory. We often pursue our own glory, and that's why we're impatient and rude with others. It's why we're unthankful. It's why we're selfish and arrogant, because at the core, we're sinners. And at the root of sin, every sin, is this exchanging the glory of God for the glory of something else, the glory of something in creation. We were designed to live for God, but we tend to live for these other lesser glories, these other things that don't matter nearly as much. So think with me of some categories of sin. Think of materialism. Materialism is trading the glory of God for the glory of having some stuff. right? Or lust. This is trading the glory of God for this momentary sexual thrill. Or pride. Trading the glory of God for the glory of self. Here's the problem. We are all glory thieves. We're trying to take God's glory for ourselves. We want our team to win. We want our children to behave. We want our career to succeed. We're entirely too focused on our own glory. And there's all these other little glories that are meant to point us upwards, but we get satisfied with those things. At least we try to satisfy ourselves with those things. We become convinced that this is what we really need. We really need, and we fill in the blank with all kinds of things other than God. We live for what is created rather than for the Creator. Sadly, this announcement that's filled with joy reminds us of the fact that we have a glory problem. Glory to God in the highest, they proclaim. Now, just imagine for a minute. If everyone in the world lived to the glory of God in the highest, imagine what the world would be like. There would be no selfishness. There'd be no deception or lying. There'd be no harm. People wouldn't be sinning against one another. There'd be no murder. There'd be no abuse. It'd be a perfect world. In fact, that's how God created the world. And yet, because there is sin in the world, oh, we are far from that. The truth is, we naturally live for our own glory rather than God's. And so we're confronted in this short little verse with our glory problem. And this stealing glory from God leads to another problem. We have a peace problem as well. The angel said, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." So we were all created to be at peace with God, to be in a loving, intimate relationship with him. Peace is a really good thing. And it's more than just the absence of hostility. It's not just no one's mad at me. No, the biblical idea, like the Hebrew word is shalom. Shalom, this word for peace, it's describing when everything is as it should be. It's a word of completeness, wholeness, perfection. Again, the scripture says this is how God created the world. It was good. It was very good. There was shalom. Yet our distant ancestors, Adam and Eve, they sinned against God. And when they did so, this shalom was shattered. Our peace with God was destroyed. Shalom's supposed to be a trusting, a rest in God. But rather, when we sin, we've broken that. We've destroyed it. It's gone. And it's not just that now we don't have peace with God. We were intended to have peace within, right? We were supposed to have this rest, this comfort, because I'm trusting in God. And yet that has been replaced with fear and worry, frustration, anxiety, stress. And it's not just that we don't have peace with God. We don't have peace within. We don't have peace with one another. I mean, the world is filled with conflict and strife, discord and argument. Maybe while you were trying to get the kids ready tonight to come here, right? I mean, it's amazing how quick that peace with others disappears in our lives. We were intended to live lives of peace with God, peace within, and peace with others. But rather, we have conflict with others, anxiety within, and this separation, this alienation from God. This is not the way the world's supposed to be. We live in a broken world. And it's such a tragedy when we see people who try to live for these little other glories that will never satisfy, and people who don't care about being at peace with God or at peace with others. So this little hymn, it reminds us of our great need. Shalom has been shattered by glory thieves. Oh, but there's so much more here. You see, from this, we need to be rescued. We need to be delivered. What we need is a Savior. Now, it was read for us earlier, but just look up to verse 11. "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." You see, this is the whole reason the angels are making this happy announcement. It's because the Savior has come. There is an answer to our great need. Our problem is solved in Jesus.
You see, this little hymn, it points to the salvation that the Savior brings. It points to the mission of the Messiah, God and sinners reconciled. This is why Jesus came. He came because our only hope was his grace. You see, on our own, we can't fix this problem. We can't restore the relationship with God. We can't be good enough to somehow be at peace with God. We can't, with all of our might, live at every moment for the glory of God. We keep sinning again and again. This is beyond our own ability to solve, and yet the Savior has come to do it. Jesus came to show us his grace. Now let's look at this very last phrase. Peace among those with whom he is pleased. You could translate that this way. Peace on those whom his favor rest, or perhaps even better, peace to those whom his grace is given. You see, this peace is given graciously by God. It's an incredible gift. Peace with God is a gracious gift given to those who are the object of God's merciful pleasure. You see, this gift, it's an expensive gift. Now, there's some kids here tonight, and I know you're probably excited about getting some presents. In fact, raise your hand. Anyone excited about presents tomorrow? I'm the only one? Oh, okay, I see a couple hands. All right, now, are you more excited about the ones that cost a little bit of money or the ones that cost a lot of money? What do you think? Go ahead. A lot. We tend to be like that. Now, this gift that I'm describing, it is the most costly gift we can imagine. The gift of peace with God, it was purchased for us at a very high cost. The grace of God was purchased with a death. Someone had to die so that we could receive this incredible gift. See, we have stolen glory and we have broken peace, and because of that, we are guilty. We have rebelled against God. We've committed cosmic treason against the King of the world. And for that, the penalty is death. That's what we all deserve. And so the Savior came to die. Instead of living for God, we've tried to be God. We've tried to live as if the world revolved around us instead of it all revolving around him. We've lived for the things of creation rather than for the Creator. And so we're in serious trouble. Yet Jesus, the Savior, he came to die. He came so that he could take the punishment that we deserved. You see, on our behalf, Jesus lived to the glory of God in the highest. On our behalf, Jesus was at peace with God and peace with man. And on our behalf, Jesus took a punishment that he didn't deserve. He took our punishment on a cross. And so the angels announce hope. The angels announce grace that is offered to us. So here's my question for you this evening. This Christmas, have you received this gift? Do you have peace with God? Have you been forgiven for your sin? Here's the way you open this costly present that has been given. You have to repent and believe. That means we have to turn away from trying to seek our own glory and rather trust in the Savior, trust in Jesus. He was born, he lived a perfect life, and then he died a substitutionary death in our place. And more than that, he rose from the dead, showing that he had paid the full penalty. You see, the Savior provides for us peace with God, and he gives it graciously to any who will turn from their sin and trust in him. Jesus came so that by his death, we could be saved from our sins, and even more than that, we could be made new. You see, what I've been describing this evening, it's not just good news for those who have never heard it before. It's not just good news for those who are not Christians and might become Christians tonight. This is good news for all of us. It's good news for those who've known about this news for decades. Because not only are we forgiven of our sin, but we are transformed. We are made new. Listen to what Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 5. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. He says in verse 15, Jesus died that those who live might no longer live for themselves. but for him who for their sake died and was raised. You see, one of the reasons Jesus came was so that we would all stop living for ourselves and rather we would live for the glory of God in the highest. He came to transform us at the core of who we are. He came to give us new hearts, new desires. This is gloriously good news. He came to transform us, to give us hearts that are captivated with the glory of God rather than hearts that are focused on so many other things. He came to give us peace with God. And I have such good news for you. This means that you and I, we can live for the glory of God. We can experience peace with God forever. The angels sing, glory to God in the highest. On earth, peace among those with whom he is pleased. Has the Lord shown you such favor? Has he worked in your heart? Are you the object of God's good pleasure? If so, you can live for the glory of God. You know, the same grace that saves us, it sustains us. It makes us holy. It sanctifies us. The same grace that brings you to Christ is the grace that keeps you in Christ forever. The same grace that mercifully forgives is the grace that transforms us. The same grace that adopts us into God's family is the grace that grows our relationship deeper and deeper with God the Father. God's grace establishes peace with God, but it also enables us to have peace within, and it empowers us to pursue peace with others. We have so much to be thankful for in the Savior that was born. We have so many reasons to join the angels and sing glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. Let's pray together. Lord, what a gift it is that you sent your Son to give us life, to give us peace, to transform us into those who live for the glory of God in the highest. Lord, I do pray that if there are any here who've yet to put their trust in Jesus, they've yet to turn away from their self-focused life of sin, Lord, I pray that they would turn right now. They would cry out to you and ask for mercy, and they would be forgiven by this Savior. And Lord, I pray for the many Christians who are encouraged by these words. Lord, may we indeed live to the glory of God, knowing that we, in Christ, we can have peace with God, peace within, and peace with others. We pray all of this in the name of the Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.